So now, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, deals with a new issue. It's the issue of Kavana. Kavana. Okay, now you got to know before we even start this, there's a big machlokas amoraim, whether or not mitzvahs tzrichas kavana or not. Whether or not you need to have kavana when you're doing a mitzvah. Or if simply, if you did it, you did it. You know, like you ate the matzah, so you ate it. What's the more to do? Or you have to have kavana. I'm eating matzah because it's a mitzvah. Big machlokas. Okay? And they both have to have a mahalach, and since they both stand, right? We paskin la'alacha l'charchila, you need to have kavana. Midoraisa, but midorabanan, not. Okay? In a durabanan, mitzvah durabanan, not. Okay? Tzamakiv. So, here, we'll have to have a read for both pshitas in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Hayakora b'Torah, if you're reading Torah, you're sitting reading Parshas Veschanan. Veschanan, yeah? Yeah? And you're reading Veschanan, and just because you're doing, you know, you're doing your morning learning, have the Parsha says Veschanan, and you happen to say the Parsha, and it happens to be the time for saying Kriya Shema. The Igi is Mana Mikra, you know, it was dawn. So, are you Yotzi? That depends. In Kivin Libo Yatza. If you were Mechaven, your heart, keep, Lechaven means to direct, literally, right? Direct. So you directed your heart, so you're Yotzi. Yad Kavana. Vimlav lo yatza, and if you didn't have kavana, you're not yotzi. So, according to those who say mitzvah strichin kavana, it's an easy read. According to those who say mitzvahs eidem strichin kavana, they don't need kavana. So, what's the pshat in the Mishnah? So they'll say like this: the case is a person who's being magia sefer Torah. You know, he's like he's a scrivener, he's transcribing it. You know, he's a sofer. So he's looking at one, he's copying to the next, or he's correcting his magia. He's correcting this particular scroll. He's comparing one, and then he's comparing in one Sefer Torah, it's kosher, and he's saying those words, and then he's looking at another scroll to see if the words are transcribed properly, and as he's saying those words, he'll be Yotzi. So, we're saying that you have to be Mechav in your lev, you have to have, like, direct your heart. It means you have to pay attention, because oftentimes when you're reading, and you want to check the spelling correctly, you won't read in a way that's, like, with the Mesorah, you'll read according to how the letters say, so, you know, you're pronouncing it in a straightforward way, so you don't mix up any of the words. So like, totafot may say tatafot or something like that. You're saying the words that you make sure you get the spelling correct. So if you don't pay proper attention, you like have not pronounced it correctly, and therefore you wouldn't be yotzi. All right, fine. Now, new topic in the middle of the Mishnah. Now, interruptions in the Mishnah. Are you allowed to interrupt, or when? So, in the Shema, the Mishnah will say itself, there's different sections, right? So each section, between each section is called a perek. A parsha, and between each parsha is a perek, like a break. Okay? So it says, as far as interruptions go, b'prakim, when you're at a perek, between one section and the next section, and the next fish will define exactly those sections, but between one brach and the next, or between the different three paragraphs, b'prakim, shoel mipnei kavod. You are allowed to shoel, means to ask, but it means to initiate a hello, to, you know, question, how are you? So you're asking someone's welfare, you're initiating. You're allowed to do that. Mipnei kavod. If a person passes you, we have a mitzvah to mechaber them. A talmid chacham walks by, so you're allowed to interrupt Shema at a perek, and be shoel, initiate, and also meshiv to respond. If he asks you, really, it's a kol v'chomer. It's assumed that if you can initiate, you can respond. But the Mishnah does it for parallelism. You'll see in the Mishnah later on why. Uva emtsa, and in the middle of the parshios, it's much more chumr because you're in the middle of a sentence or middle of a pasuk, and you're all of a sudden you're middle of reading something and you're stopping. That's ve'emtsa. So you need to have a better reason for that. That reason that would require mipnei yira. You're allowed to show or initiate conversation, saying how are you, only at a level of yira, of fear, and also umeshiv. And same goes for answering. Once you can initiate, you also can answer, respond back out of yira. So what does yira mean? So the Bartanura says yira means fear of death. Okay? That's serious fear. You probably the same kasha everyone else asks. It says that's always the case. If you can do anything for fear. So, okay, everyone else doesn't go with them. The Rosh, others say that it means a fear of a mitzvah. Someone who you're technically, the Rosh, but also you have a mitzvah to have yira of them. Your father, for example. The Pasuk says you have to have yira for your father. So now you're allowed to interrupt for him. It's a higher standard. The Rambam learns, fear doesn't mean fear of death, but it means fear of, let's say, bodily harm or monetary. You know, they're gonna be angry at you and steal your house, or, you know, I don't know what, burn your house down because he gets, you know, he's irritated at you. So if such a person has such a power, you're allowed to interrupt. So three pshatim what yira means. Okay? That's divra meir. That's for meir shita. Now Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, he takes it like half a notch down. You'll see what I mean. He's more lenient, but not fully more lenient, just half more lenient. He says, be'emtza, when you're in the middle of a parsha, so then he agrees you can only initiate conversation to be shoel b'bnei yira at the high level, because you have a real fear. Right? However, to be meshiv, to respond, even if it's just out of kavod, you're allowed to respond in the middle of a parsha. Remember, Meir says you can't respond for kavod. If you're in the middle of talking to God, you have to wait till the break. Rabbi Yehuda takes a half a step down, he says that's mutter. And ubaprakim, when you are at a break, a natural break, so then again you can initiate only b'mea kavod, shalom b'mea kavod, the same as Reb Meir. Umeshim shalom l'chol adam. He says you can answer to anybody. If anyone says to you hello, and you're at a perek, you're allowed to respond. Now, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So the din is, you're allowed to, for example, respond to someone out of kavod or anybody at a perek. Normally, the halacha is people know what you're doing, saying Kriya Shema, and they wouldn't be offended. If they're not going to be offended, you know, I don't know, your Rebbe knows you're saying Shema, so you don't have to stop and interrupt and say hello to him. But if he wouldn't, like, I guess, I'm speculating. An example would be, if your father who's not from, let's say, passes you by and doesn't know what the heck you're up to, I'm making it up, so I assume that's the halacha though, that would be, personally, you have a mitzvah of year, you'd be allowed to interrupt in the middle of Kriya Shema, right, even though it's covered. That's the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? Fine. I guess another example. Yeah, we'll stop here. But another example that comes at halacha, if you're one of those, I'm sure you're not, but if someone would be the kind of person who's like, you know, saying Shema on the way to shul because they're running late, so someone might not know you're saying Shema in that case. So in that such a case, perhaps you pass someone a talmud chacham, maybe you have to stop and say hello to them because they're not going to, otherwise they'll think it's rude, perhaps. Okay? So.